Welcome to Real Chalk, a Shrug Collective production. Mike Bledsoe here, stoked to be launching this network so that we can introduce you to amazing content providers like Ryan Fisher. We'll be posting new shows every weekday, so be on the lookout. As a thank you for listening, Thrive Market has a special offer for you. You get $60 of free organic groceries, plus free shipping, and a 30-day trial. Go to thrivemarket.com/realchalk. This is how it works. Users will get $20 off their first three orders of $49 or more, plus free shipping. No code is necessary because the discount will be applied at checkout. Many of you will be going to the store this week, so just hit up Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/realchalk to get set up. Enjoy the show.
Alrighty, kids. Yaya here coming at you with a brand new episode of the Real Chalk podcast on the Shrugged Collective. This week, Ryan and I sat down on his couch with one of his oldest buddies, Brian Borstein from CrossFit PB, one of the gyms that Ryan worked at during his time when he was living down in San Diego and just starting out his career in the CrossFit world. So we chat a little bit about the history that the two have together, and then a lot about just training, pacing, how training has evolved over the years, especially CrossFit, and where Brian sees this whole thing going. He is also huge on personal client programming, so he has a lot of online clients that he programs for. So we dive into that, not only how to write programming, but also how to provide the greatest value to athletes that are following your workouts. Fish and I literally just got back. I must have walked into the door maybe 30 minutes ago from Paleo FX, our very first event with the entire Shrug Collective, and we had an absolute blast this entire weekend. Great mix of having fun and getting our work done. And there is so much just amazing content that's coming your way on the Shrug Collective. Right here on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you guys are listening, but also on their website, shrugcollective.com, on the YouTube channel. Follow me at YasView and Ryan at RyanFish on Instagram. And there's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming your way that I'm really, really excited for. I'm going to stop yapping, let you guys jump into the episode. Hope you guys enjoy it. All right, kids, we're live back on Fish's couch, sitting down with Brian Borstein. Fish knows him from way, way back when he was coming up in San Diego, just starting CrossFit. And then you were working at his gym, correct?
I was not working at his gym. I wanted to be part of any gym that would actually let me come in and work out.
Oh, okay. So, there you go.
This was like right around the time when I lost everything that I had, and I was just trying to reach out to anybody. Like, I wanted a job with you guys.
You did,
first,
yeah. You had just come from the other gym, the one we won't speak about.
I think we can talk about it.
We can talk about it? Okay. And who is programming all hero workouts all the time.
Yep, yeah.
And, well, I've heard this story before.
Yeah, so just some of you guys know, like, a little bit about my story, where I started at this gym where I just didn't agree with the programming, and it really evolved into just hero workouts every single day. And then it turned into people being, like, really burned out. And it's actually why Brian's here and why we're on this podcast. We're going to talk about programming. We're going to talk about different avenues to get into and how everything's evolved. And then we'll talk about Evolved, which is Brian's training system at some point.
Oh, yep. Nice little plug.
Yeah, I love that. That was a great little slide in there.
So, yeah, we had all that going on, and I quit my job, and things went downhill for me, and a lot of you guys know, and just was at the bottom of the bottom. And then I sent an email to this guy here, and I was like, hey guys, I just want to reach out to you guys and see if I can do anything for you. I can shadow coach or do whatever. And the first time I walked in, you can talk about that experience when you guys met me, I guess.
Yeah, so Fish walks into the gym, never seen this guy before. I remember Anders immediately looked up your resume when you sent it over, and he was like, oh, this dude's been in the Olympic training team, and like, he's been a helicopter pilot, and he's been coaching at this other gym for a while, and blah, blah, blah. And he walks in and looks like this just like muscled bowling ball, like more Jack than Noah Olsen.
The muscle hamster.
And I think the first workout we ever did with you in the gym, you walked in and it was DT. And I remember at the time I did that thing in like 7.5 minutes or something. Loden did it in like 6:30, and we thought we were hot shit. And then Fish comes in and does it in like 3:36, I think was the time.
And I've never even done it before.
Never done it. Did like the first two rounds unbroken. Yeah, exactly. No one knew any better. It was like 2010 at the time. No one knew any better. And we just knew he'd be a good fit to hang out with us at that point.
So yeah, I started spending a lot of time in there. And then from there, that was when I actually found the first person who I'd be sleeping on their couch, Erin.
Erin, dude, what a nice girl she is, huh?
Yeah, she hooked me up, and when everything was at its bottom, I got to hang out on her couch for a little bit.
Did you have to strip for her to sleep on the couch?
So the stripping the stripping thing came after, actually. A lot of you guys know about the stripping situation. I think you actually got to see one of my routines during New Year's Eve.
My routine? Yes.
Yeah, we did have the New Year's Eve and the New Year's Day pub crawl. That might have been where it came out. Or it came out as well there. But
at the Shore Club.
The Shore Club, exactly.
I was doing my strip routine for all these girls at the Shore Club.
And it worked.
And it did work.
Alright, let's talk about you a little bit, like how you got into CrossFit, fitness, all that stuff. You can start wherever you want, like take it all the way back.
Cool.
And then we'll go from there.
So ninth grade, high school. I'm a little kid, haven't hit puberty yet, and the one fight I ever got in my life was because some kid in ninth grade decided that he'd call me the Pillsbury Doughboy. I wasn't even fat, I just had baby fat on me.
Kids are so fucking mean, dude.
Right?
Totally.
So we ended up throwing down in chemistry class, and we both got detention for it. But literally that day, I was like, I need to get bigger, I need to get stronger. And I started going online, started researching training, and
how did the fight go?
Oh man, it was like two blows, and then the teachers broke it up. It was a really stupid pansy fight. Nobody even really got like hit that hard, you know. But we had this little like universal gym in our high school. It was a shitty private school with not much of an athletic team or anything. But you know, I'd do like 3 sets of 10 bench press, 3 sets of 10. Rows, 3 sets of 10, whatever, everything, just kind of in a circuit. Didn't really know much better. Eventually, the first real kind of structured training that I came across was HIIT, not like high intensity interval training, but high intensity training, which is kind of like, you know, one set to failure. Just work as hard as you can on one set per movement, and you get the most benefit from that. So this is kind of where my view on not necessarily needing all the volume in the world to train really started to come to prominence. And that's one of my big things now, is just do a little bit less, make it a little bit higher quality, and get the most out of it that way, you know. So I played basketball in high school. Training with weights was one of the things that allowed me to actually compete with people that were much bigger, taller than me. And I was decent at basketball, I guess. Went into college, exercise phys, same as Fish.
Or kinesiology, whichever
kinesiology,
you guys are thinking it as.
Exactly, with sports management as well. And just kind of continued lifting, started programming for friends in college that just didn't really know what else to do. And then after college, fell into the corporate world. It was miserable. Went to sit at a desk every day for 3+ years.
Getting nauseous just thinking about that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I think it's crazy, people who go to school for kinesiology or exercise physiology, you think you're gonna come out and have this dope job. And a lot of people out there, if you guys are listening right now, like when you guys are in that career field, like in college, you're like really setting yourself up for like a very, very small piece of career opportunities.
Yeah, I think my biggest hindrance was I started looking at jobs in that field, and everything was like $28,000 a year, or like,
and,
you know, internship unpaid with like an opportunity to potentially become employed
and potentially make $28,000.
Right, exactly. So then I sit down and I'm like, okay, I can be like a government contracting here, and I'll be making like 60 to 65 right out of college, like not a bad gig and whatever. Yeah. I'll just like do programming on the side. So that's kind of what I did. I trained on my own, typical bodybuilding splits type stuff, 5 days a week, chest one day, back the next day, that sort of thing. But it always took a back seat to, you know, feeling like there was more out there. In 2009, Anders moves out to San Diego, and it was one drunk night in Vegas. We're there for like a bachelor party or something, and he turns over to me and he's like, dude, you want to start a CrossFit gym? And I didn't even remember this at all. And a couple days later, we get back from Vegas, and he's like, hey, dude, remember when like we talked about opening the gym? And I'm like, no, not really, but sort of. And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So we walked down Garnett Ave, the main drag in Pacific Beach in San Diego, and we noticed this like record store going out of business. We walk in, we take some measurements, we talk to the landlord, didn't really think much of it. Went to a coffee shop, started jotting down some ideas on some business plans and stuff like that. The landlord calls us and he's like, hey, you can have the place, but you need to sign in the next couple weeks. So we spend the next few weeks writing a business plan from our corporate jobs, get some funding from a couple different sources. And the next thing we know, it's April 2010 and we own a CrossFit gym. So that was that's how it all started. And when did you come down? July 2010, maybe? The summer? Something like that. But it was 10? We were relatively new at the time.
It was like 2012.
I don't know, bro. I feel like we were still just getting started. Maybe it was a few.
It was like 2011.
Were we full time at the gym at that point, or were we still working other jobs?
No, you guys are both full time. You're both telling me how you had your corporate jobs and you hated it. Anders told me the same. So I remember you guys both having corporate jobs, and then I remember asking you guys like how you started, which I thought was super interesting because you guys made a bunch of window paint and said free CrossFit, right?
Yeah, we ran the gym for free for a month and a half, and it was literally just try as many classes you want, come for free for an entire 6 weeks. And I think we put 220 people through the gym in 6 weeks, and then July 1st we were like, okay, you either sign up or get the fuck out, and 33 people signed up.
That's pretty cool.
So we started a gym with 33 members, and that was almost break even at that point.
I was just going to ask you that too, because especially during that time, like 2009, 2010, there were CrossFit gyms opening up like every single day, right? So besides that, like I really like that, the whole like free CrossFit idea.
Yeah.
What were some other things you guys were doing that separated you a little from the other stuff? Because especially in San Diego too, there have to be gyms like on every corner, right?
You guys were the first one.
No, yeah, so that's actually completely wrong. So in 2010, we were like the third or fourth CrossFit gym in the San Diego area. There was Invictus, there was CrossFit San Diego, there was what is now Bear Republic, was CrossFit East Village. And that's where Anders and I actually started training together because they had open gym. And I was like, so when Anders first moved out here, I was anti-CrossFit. I didn't even know that I wanted to do it really. I just thought it was only Metcons. I didn't know there was a strength component to it or anything, because I'd look at the Daily Wad and it would be like Fran, Cindy, like all these different things. And I was like, I don't want to just do cardio. I want to lift. So we went to East Village where they had open gym, and we would do like our deadlifts, then we would do a Metcon. Then like, you know, the next day it'd be like power cleans and squats and then a Metcon. And that's where I kind of evolved some of my ideas about training and how important incorporating strength work is and stuff like that. So it was a process though. Like it took me a little while of actually kind of doing CrossFit and doing it my way or the way that I wanted to do it before we actually kind of came up with the idea of starting our own gym and then being able to program it exactly how we wanted to. So like anybody starting a CrossFit gym, we didn't really know what proper training was either, you know. Mm-hmm. I think one day we programmed Kalsu for the gym. Kalsu, if you don't know, it's 100 thrusters for time at 135.
Which now is like not a big deal.
Which is not a big deal, but back then, it really ruined people.
Yeah.
I remember doing it one day and like, I think Anders crawled out of the gym and puked at like 60 reps and then came back in and completed the workout. Yes. And no one knew anything about pacing or strategy. So it was like, you come out the first minute and you do 15 thrusters because that's what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And then the next minute you're like doing three because that's also what you're capable of.
And then people were doing like one and then five burpees.
And then some minutes you just do burpees.
Yeah.
So no one really knew, right? Like we were just like, hard workouts are the key. And there really wasn't any process of, hey, how do we create better athletes? It was just kill yourself every day and come back and do it again the next day.
Well, then the CrossFit game started happening. And then from there, everyone saw Rich Froning. And they're like, oh, I have to work out 6 times a day for me to be as good as Rich Froning. And I think that really ruined... I think Rich Froning is personally responsible for ruining CrossFit.
Oh my God. Jesus.
That's a huge statement. That's a huge statement.
I mean, as good as he is for the sport, that video when he came out, and everybody was like, oh my God, like Because I didn't know either. Like, I would work out in the gym and, like, and then I would think that was it. And I would be, like, excited to work out the next day and whatever. And then I'd, you know, everyone says recover and this and that. And then all of a sudden you watch this video and you're like, oh, that's why he's so good. He's doing this and that and this and that and this and that.
He works out 8 times a day, yeah.
So everyone went from working out 1 hour a day to 6 hours a day. And then that's when all the injuries started. That's when, like, over-programming started. That's when...
Especially because back then, everybody's goal was still to make it to the games. Like, everybody that walked into a CrossFit gym wanted to go to regionals, wanted to go to the game. So they all
I can't wait to get into
rich.
All these things right now. I'm so excited. There's
this
so
is
many
actually,
topics.
Yeah, this is actually like a really good kind of transition into one of the things that I wanted to talk about, which is like when Froning worked out 6 times a day, he wasn't actually working out 6 times a day. And people looked at it and they're like, I remember specifically one of the movies, it was like The Life of Rich Froning or A Day in the Life of Rich Froning. And one of his workouts was 3 squat cleans on the minute for 20 minutes at 185.
Yeah, which and for him is nothing.
Which is nothing! Right, this is exactly it. Or like 10 thrusters on the minute at 95 for 10 minutes or something like that. Which to him is like, I use the analogy of like, it's like a basketball player shooting free throws.
Yeah.
It's literally like taking 100%. Zero effort and you're just practicing technique. And yet people look at that and they're like, oh, 3 cleans on the minute at 185? I could do that. And suddenly,
but for them, 185 is 90%.
Exactly.
It's 60%.
Yeah. Right. No, exactly. So what people need to be doing is doing it at 115.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at 135 at most. And if you did that, then working out 6 times a day isn't actually working out 6 times a day. It's working out once or twice a day with like a lot of practice.
Yeah, exactly. And this is one thing we talk about on the podcast all the time, is that I think one of the biggest problems right now in CrossFit gyms is kind of like that training and practice that people don't see the difference in there anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They go in and they train every single day and they compete every single day. They're competing with everybody else in the class. They're competing with everybody else on the leaderboard. They're competing with the score they got on the same workout 6 weeks ago or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. But no one really ever goes in and just does 15 double unders on the minute or does a rope climb or works on their clams. Or like, just because you do 100 chest bar pull-ups as fast as you possibly can, that's not going to make you better at chest bar pull-ups.
Absolutely not.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think people nowadays, I think it's starting to, people are starting to understand that like, okay, what I'm doing isn't working. I got to slow down a little bit. But especially back then, like no one was doing stuff like that.
Exactly. And if they were, I think the injuries would be significantly less and people would be better at movement.
Yeah.
I mean, even something like 5 chest-to-bar pull-ups every 30 seconds for 10 minutes or something, you look at that and you still did 100 chest-to-bar pull-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
But you did it so much smarter. Reps. Right. They were great reps. Your technique
Absolutely.
Was great. Your kip was being worked on. The timing of the movement, your breathing patterns, like all these different things.
And the one thing that is super important to me, I feel like, is if you're able to move perfectly at any given movement, let's say your snatch and chest bar pull-ups, wall balls, whatever it is, as you get more and more tired in the workout, everybody, all of us, our efficiency and the movement is going to decline just a little bit, mm-hmm. right? But if you start at perfect and you get tired, then you end at above average still,
mm-hmm.
right? If I start at, ooh, my movement is like slightly above average, and then you get tired, you end at fucking shit show. Like, that's the end. That's the end result.
Yep. No, I agree 100%. You're inefficient. You cause injuries to occur. Your shoulder girdle gets smashed.
Exactly. Yep.
And at this time, this is like when people are getting really addicted to the sport. So then they think that the next evolution for them is to own a gym so they can train more.
Dude.
Which
actually
does not equal
it's
that
kind of the
all.
Opposite effect.
But even if it is the opposite effect, what you think is going to happen is you're going to get to train more, but you also get excited to put your programming for the people. So then you give them this ridiculous competitive programming that no one can really do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of scaling going on. Or maybe you don't have coaches that are good enough to even show proper scaling. So then you get people who can start getting pissed. And then when people get pissed, they don't have a good experience. Then they tell someone that they tried CrossFit and they didn't have a good experience. And then that person tells someone that they did CrossFit mm-hmm. and they didn't have a good experience. And then all 100%. Of a sudden, now CrossFit is not a dope program to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do spin or I'm going to go do Orange Theory or whatever because
CrossFit gets you
because
hurt.
My good friend told me that this is what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Because coaches don't give a fuck. Like you said, people open gyms because they want to train more and they think that that lifestyle is going to enable them to go to the games, go to regionals, whatever it is. Right? I mean, you've seen me, like, I've had to, like, yell at people in class to take weight off their bar.
Yeah.
For people that walk into the gym and all of a sudden it's their first day and they're doing push press at 95, which fucking is nothing, but their back is all arched and they don't know what they're doing and they're about to drop it on their head. And I'm like, dude, take the fucking weight off or walk out the door. Like, those are the two options. You're not getting hurt in my class.
I remember there was one guy, he literally had such a problem with.
Oh my God, dude, it was so bad. Like, Fish had to, like, step in and be like, look, you can put, like, because I was telling him just do the bar.
Yeah.
And then Fish came in and he's like, okay, you can do 10s, but that's absolutely, that's the most you can do.
First day in there, like, probably finishing in front of his face every time. Like, yeah. Not clearing through, no mobility.
There's so many funny things that happen.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting time. That whole time period, I think, is just crazy. Like, for us, I think it's great to look back on and be like, oh, that was such a fun time. But, man, if we were so much smarter, like, the things we would have done, and, like, the athlete that I probably would have been if I was just a little bit smarter, I definitely fell victim to doing everything.
Dude, the best story ever is when you were like, I went out with intention to run a 5K, and it just kept feeling good, so I kept running, yeah. And I think I just ran a marathon. You walked in all sweaty, you're like, what should I do now? We're like, nothing, go home?
Yeah. I was like, I think I'm going to squat. And I think I did like a 500-pound back squat. Yeah. And to this day, it's like what everyone always talks about. He ran a marathon and squatted 500 pounds in a day.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's like a pinnacle, right? Like, yeah. That's what you want to achieve, strength and conditioning simultaneously.
That was a good run.
Speaking of running a marathon, we were talking before we started recording a little bit about your Olympic world record trial.
My attempted Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so 500 muscle-ups in a day. And originally, I set out to do 1,000. I thought that would get me noticed.
Oh, my God.
More is better, guys.
More is always better. So this was also probably the first year of owning the gym. But I looked up the Guinness Book of World Records, and the only record in there was max muscle-ups unbroken. And at the time, it was 26, and it was bar muscle-ups, which now, like, every games athlete can do 26 muscle-ups in a row. Like, it's not even hard. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to set a new record. So I videoed the whole thing. I created this like whiteboard with a checkbox for every 5 reps that I complete so that I could keep track of it. And the camera would show the board every time I completed a set. And I did 500 ring muscle-ups in 7 hours and 51 minutes. And
how do you even start that? Like, how do you even break that up?
It's a good question. So I did the first 250 in sets of 5 reps.
Okay.
And I just did one set of 5 every 5 minutes.
Wow.
Because I knew it was a pacing game, right? I wasn't going to try and go out and, like, kill myself. But by that, by the 250th rep, I was feeling it. And
I'm feeling it right now. Just talking about it.
I was actually not feeling great. I started at 6 a.m., and I remember Anders had to go out and buy me chocolate milk because I was just so drained. I was like, I can't stop doing muscle-ups. So he ran across the street and bought me chocolate milk. I chugged some chocolate milk and kept going. I did the next 100 reps in singles. I tried to do one single on the minute for 100 minutes. Whoa. So I did that.
100 minutes.
So then I was at 350. And then I think I did triples the rest of the way. So the last 150 were all in triples. And whatever it was, it took 7 hours and 51 minutes. And
the next day, what did you feel like?
Surprisingly, not nearly as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh, wow.
I had a rip in my hands, and my lats were sore. But other than lat soreness and a small rip in my hands, it was way better than I thought it would be. I only took one day off. You know, it was 2010. You can't be taking days off.
One day off.
And did you get the world record?
So Guinness Book of World Records got back to me, and they said, this is not an acceptable record. Please see max muscle-ups unbroken. And I was like, oh, come on. I'm trying to pave my own path here. Like, give me this credit, you know? Somehow, Dave Castro heard about this, and he emailed me, and he was like, are you the idiot that did muscle-ups? And I was like, yeah, that was me, you know, whatever. I thought I'd at least get some love on the CrossFit site, but it wasn't meant to be.
Nothing. I didn't even know he reached out to you.
Yeah, or maybe I reached out to him and then he got back to me, but it was one of the two.
Wow.
But he was aware of it, because I remember he brought it up at regionals the following year. He was like, yeah, you're that idiot that did 500 muscle-ups. So he was aware.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but no record to speak of, so it is what it is, you know?
Well, you still got your street cred, though.
Exactly, exactly. The only idiot to do 500 muscle-ups in a day. And they're still, like, to this day, one of my favorite movements, right? Like, when Fish walked into the gym, he could barely even do muscle-ups, as athletic as he is. And We did like 30 muscle-ups for time.
I used to get so bummed because you'd always do so many more than me.
It was the only workout I could ever beat Fish at. So
and
I tried
like
to
your favorite movement.
I love
I tried to make him do it all the time because I just wanted to beat him at something.
So from there, now we're in probably 2000, because I think I went to regional in 2012 with you guys.
Yep.
That was when I got fourth. It was a great day.
You had three straight years of top five.
Yeah. Which is act.
Always one spot up, right?
But that was always when it was only like top three made regionals.
Yep. Then they made it top five and I got fucking sixth.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that... I remember that too. Isn't that so funny?
Oh,
like,
oh my god.
Did.
I know.
Anyway, so now this is during a time where people are starting to get kind of smart about this stuff. And what I think is like really, really interesting for you guys out there, if you're a CrossFitter and you're a fan of CrossFit and you've been around for a while, and you're starting to see all these online programs kind of pop up. I think the first, like one of the first people to do like remote coaching was Brian.
I started way long ago. Yeah, it started with you and Carly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 2010, 2011. No, it must have been 2011.
But you're like one of the first people that I can think of in my mind that actually started that.
Yeah, it was.
And I made a post for you one day. I was like, you guys need a coach one day. And then like, and then Carly signed up, and then Carly got all stoked and posted about it. And then that was when, like, Instagram was, like, starting.
Yeah.
I mean,
You were an early adopter.
I really wish I, like, really was into it, though. Because I would just post every once in a while. Like, it wasn't, like, every day. I didn't have any, like, strategy to it. Now it's, like,
There wasn't, like, social media experts that tell you, like, on this day, like, content calendars, right? On this day, you're going to post about this. This day's about this. This is about this. Like, every day has to have some sort of content associated. But... yeah, my the remote coaching thing, though, was, like, ingrained in me from so long ago. Like, even in college when I was just, you know, pursuing exercise phys, I was remote coaching for friends and family at the time, like, around the country that just needed guidance. And I didn't know that it was remote coaching at the time. It was just me emailing them workouts and them doing them. So then you came along and you needed coaching. And that was a perfect in. And then Carly came along and she made regionals after 6 months of doing CrossFit, which is something that you just don't see anymore.
Yeah.
And it just kind of grew from there. And like my whole philosophy grew too, right? Like,
yeah, I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah. So.
So you started out doing programs. So like when you had all these people come into your gym and now you have this CrossFit gym, like what was the programming process going in your head right away out the gate? Did you want everyone to just kind of make sure they get a really good sweat in and leave? Did you want people to get strong? Did you want a little bit of both? Or did you just want to just do classic CrossFit workouts?
It was a mix of all of it, man. Like, I don't know. Like, as I alluded to in the beginning when we were training at East Village, I always had a strong belief in strength work. And I was, you know, averse to CrossFit at first because I just thought it was all cardio. So then when we started our own gym and I realized that I could create whatever sort of programming I wanted to do, it was really cool to be able to be like, okay, well, Mondays we squat. And to this day, that is one thing that's unchanged. We squat on Mondays. And Tuesdays was generally like more of a longer Metcon. Wednesdays would be some sort of focus on an Olympic lift. Thursdays was more gymnastics and cardio focus, so you get a little break from the barbell. And Fridays generally would be some sort of deadlift or pull off the ground. And then Saturdays was more of like a team workout approach. And that side of things hasn't really changed much when it comes to gym programming.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
I was going to say that I like that structure a lot. That sounds good to me.
I think it's important to have structure for your gym too. Like, your members want to be able to see themselves getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And you guys alluded to this too in your How to Program podcast you did a couple weeks ago, where, you know, you get down these 4 week squat cycles and members can actually see themselves getting stronger over a 4 week period. And that's important. It's really hard to see improvement on Metcons because you just don't repeat the same Metcon that often. Unless it's like a named workout that's done every 6 months or something like that.
Right.
So you have a squat program or you have like, you know, triples on deadlift that you do every Friday, and you know every fourth week there's a deload week because you just can't tax your CNS like that. But you know every Friday you're deadlifting, and then you know on Wednesdays you snatch or you clean or you do some sort of combo of both, and you can actually tangibly see yourself getting better, whether it's getting more reps with the same weight or higher loading. So
did you have this kind of format from the beginning?
Yeah. I would say that that was always kind of my belief system. And it's just, it's evolved over time to the point that now I'm much more, like when I program AMRAP type work or for time work, I often will do it in a pacing mechanism.
So I was going to say, before you get into like that part necessarily, I remember talking to you when you were going through the OPT stuff.
Yeah.
And that was like 2013 or 14?
Correct, yeah.
Right? So now you have a couple years of gym programming, and now you're going on to something that's getting really, really popular. A lot of people kind of want to know what's going on because OPT's like starting his own training systems, and now you started something that opened up a whole different window.
Yeah, exactly.
In style of training. Because I remember I was still being trained by you, yeah. And I remember the workouts changed significantly, and I was asking why, and you're like, oh, this is the way you want to do it, and blah, 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 blah. So let's go over what that was like and how that changed your philosophy, and then what we're doing with that now, with what you do now.
Yeah, totally. So the biggest change that I think came from the OPEX, OPT stuff, was this focus on pacing and how you don't want to go 100% all the time. And I think for most people that are in the know, that are CrossFit coaches at this point, that's kind of just an obvious thing. Like, the sport has evolved to a point where you know you can't go 100% all the time. So back in 2013, 2014, it was almost unique to be like, okay, we're going to do an AMRAP 5 minutes. We're going to rest three. Then we're going to do an AMRAP 5 minutes again. We're going to rest three. We're going to do another AMRAP five. And your score is going to be the worst of the three workouts. Mm-hmm. It's the only way I could get people to pace. Because if I'm like, you know, your score is the cumulative total of all three AMRAPs, people are going to go 100% on all three AMRAPs.
Yeah.
You hold them back a little and you're like, okay, your score is the least of the three. And that was my first real kind of involvement with the whole pacing mechanism.
I remember seeing that in the programming and I was like, oh shit, how do I do this?
Yeah. Right. And by the way, think about, do you remember the OCT when we programmed three friends?
Oh yeah.
So that was literally taken from that same philosophy. It was like, you're going to do three Frans. Each one is going to be on the 5 minutes. And oh, your score is your worst Fran.
That sounds awful.
Guess who won that?
Fisher.
Oh, what was your slowest Fran?
My slowest Fran, I want to say it was like 320.
I was going to say 321.
And my fastest one, I did my last one in like 240.
Well, but it,
no,
it,
no,
was
no.
It the slowest score?
Or it was your slowest score, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I got faster. Which is why everybody was freaking out, because I was getting like, I started my first one, and I think my first one was my slowest, and okay, I went a little bit faster each time.
So you won that workout with a 321 Fran, and you were able to sustain a 321 or better for all three. And right, it was a slap in the face for a lot of CrossFitters that didn't understand pacing. Like, they go out there and they're like, oh, I could hold a 3 minute Fran forever. Until you can't.
Yeah. I think that stuff is so cool. I talk to Fish about this stuff all the time, like the OPEX, OPT stuff. When I lived in Chicago, one of the guys there, regional athlete also, he then moved to Arizona. He's like one of their sponsored athletes now. So I follow him on Instagram, and he basically posts all his programming all day, every day, all the stuff he does. And I just think it's so cool to see someone with such like scientific approach to CrossFit, not just like, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you and you're going to feel like you're dying every single day and we're going to hope that it's going to make you better. They have so many different standards that you have to uphold, I feel like, every mm-hmm. single day. And I think me as an athlete too, as I get smarter, as I learn more about programming and understand what I'm doing, because even me, I started CrossFit way later than you guys. I've been CrossFitting for 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. So the CrossFit scene in general, I feel like, was a lot more evolved by the time I jumped into it. But I still made the same mistakes that everybody else.
Of course, everybody does. It's so exciting.
Yeah. You go so fast, you go so hard, and you go 7 days a week, and you just, you know what I mean? Try and prove yourself, and then your body's kind of like, okay, dude, maybe not, right?
Yeah.
Maybe slow down a little bit. So I think stuff where, like, the pacing is more in the foreground, it's just so, I just like it so much more because I feel so much more connected to working out. Whereas if I'm doing Fran as fast as I possibly can, or even a 50-minute MRAP as fast as I possibly can, there comes this time where you just kind of black out and you just kind of become a zombie,
right?
And you're just kind of like going through the motions. Where stuff like this, where I have to pace and you have to think and you're like, okay, I have to breathe and every rep has to be perfect, and you're so much more connected to the workout, I feel like, that when I leave the gym, I feel way more fulfilled than if I just went as hard as I could, blacked out for 10 minutes, and then laid on the ground for another 15 minutes.
I agree completely, man. It's like turning fitness into a cerebral sport.
Yeah.
It's like a smart man's game.
It's active meditation. That's what I call
totally.
It.
Totally. No, I think that's you should coin that.
Yeah.
Active. And if you watch Froning work out,
it's literally like that.
He is not dead.
Yeah, no, 100% not.
He's leaving some stuff on the table for sure.
If you watch him do, like, when I was coaching Kenny at the games in 2013, there was the workout that was like 27, 21, 15, 9 thrusters with like...
Rope climbs.
Yeah, exactly. Froning was like the last one off the set of 27 thrusters. He takes that nice pause at the top of every thruster rep. He takes a breath. Stays composed. He just rolled through that thing and made such quick work of it as if it was just like... casual walk in the park.
Totally.
And Kenny actually did great on that workout as well, but just because he's a freak at rope climbs.
Yeah.
But watching Froning do that was like, that's always stuck with me. Like how just composed he seemed the whole time. And one of the things we preach in OPEX when we do like energy systems work and stuff like that is to not show pain on your face.
Uh-huh.
And that's really hard. Fisher actually used to make fun of me all the time for my pain face. Yeah. Because it was just so ugly.
Yeah. I always was in the pain face.
The pain face and the O face are really close together. They're basically the same thing.
Yeah. So energy systems is another thing that, like, you know, I learned in that 2013 time frame where, you know, you have like alactic anaerobic on one spectrum and you have like super long aerobic on the other. And just kind of the unique ways in which you can program those two energy systems to mesh over time. Like over a 10-week cycle, you know, you start with one anaerobic aspect and one aerobic aspect. And you make your aerobic work a little more anaerobic. And you make your anaerobic work a little more aerobic. And suddenly these two things meet in the middle at like lactic power and lactic endurance. And you have like a 5 to 8 minute AMRAP. And you've just like... primed your body to succeed over the course of 10 weeks through manipulating these energy system cycles. And it's just really cool to be able to see the way that your body kind of adapts and responds to that.
The scientific side of it is just so, so fucking interesting to me. Like thinking of training like that instead of just thinking of training like, okay, I did 4 or 5 back squat last week and I'm going to do a 4 or 10 back squat this week. You know what I mean? Like there's so much more nowadays that we like understand. So I think it's just about applying it. And when you talk about stuff like that, I can geek out about that all day long.
It's so
like,
fun,
that
man.
Is
me
so
too.
Fucking yeah. Cool to me.
It's interesting for me as an athlete, though, because I always wanted to get better. And I'd be like, all right, well, I want to do whatever OPEX is doing, because that seems to be like he had a lot of great athletes and stuff. And then somebody would win who was like under Dusty Hyland,
mm-hmm.
right? And Kenny started training with Dusty Hyland. Yep. And like, who's the other girl that won?
Lindsay.
Lindsay was under Dusty, and then Valley of Elbow was under Dusty. Like, literally, like, there was, like, 5 people on the podium that were under Dusty, and I remember looking at his program, and I was like, this is death. Every day, it's death. Like, I didn't understand it, and I'm like, what should I do?
Well,
should I die, or should I do the smart thing, or, like, should I do both? Or,
you
like,
make this point all the time, because whenever I geek out about OPEX, you always make the point, like, well, but they don't have any fucking games athletes.
Yeah.
Like, they never had anybody big. Do you have an explanation for that, why that's going on?
I don't think I do. Honestly, I think that at this point, there's a longevity component to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
100%.
That's what I was
going to
say. Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, and like, you know, I don't necessarily want to train somebody that's going to be on the podium at the games.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that that's like my bread and butter right now.
Okay.
My whole thing with this like evolved training systems that I created is to get people to whatever their goal is to ensure longevity. Like, my main target market right now, my clientele base, is people that want to look like an athlete, feel like an athlete, still kind of train like an athlete, but they also want to feel good, sleep well, have hormone balance, be able to eat a little bit of fun food every now and then.
Fun food.
And not spend their entire life in the gym training.
Yeah.
Like, that is the evolved method as far as I'm concerned. And of all the remote clients that I work with, I would say 80% of them right now are on some version of this evolved training program.
Okay.
And then the other 20% are like still kind of diehard CrossFitters.
So is there stuff that you do for your clients besides just writing the programming that involves like the sleeping pattern, the getting out of the gym, food, like all that stuff? Is that just a big
So I kind of talked about this a little before the podcast too, right? Like I partnered with IN3 Nutrition.
Okay.
And Jason Phillips is CEO over there. He's an awesome dude. He has a bunch of the nutritionists that work underneath him. And I originally started coaching one of them 4 or 5 years ago, Amanda Borelli. She's a 6-time regional athlete here in SoCal. And it was about 2015 that she started kind of getting burnout on CrossFit. And this is when I created my first like evolved program. And it was a hybrid based program. It involved Olympic lifting twice a week. It involved Metcons at the end of each day, like one Metcon a day. But most of the day training was more bodybuilding focused. So there'd be a day that was like, I call it horizontal push-pull, but you can just think of that as chest back.
Okay.
So
it's just a fancier term for it.
I mean, it's a movement pattern system as opposed to a body part split.
Got it.
Yeah. So then I also have like a leg day that's quad dominant, and we have a leg day that's hamstring dominant.
Okay.
So cool. We separate that into like posterior and anterior sides. One day is more focused on squatting movements, getting below parallel, and then one day is more focused on hip hinging, hip extensions, good mornings, deadlifts, RDLs, things along those lines. And then we have one day that's a vertical push-pull. Think of that as like shoulders, arms.
Yeah.
So vertical push-pull, right? Shoulders, some pull-ups, some dips, and then throw in like some bicep curls and some tricep extensions at the end.
Love it. To keep it fun.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, we had a gymnastics day. So it was a big day focused on like working on butterfly pull-ups because all that other stuff is strict. So we're working on like muscle-ups and butterfly pull-ups and kipping handstand push-ups. Gotcha. And stuff like that. So this was my very first kind of like evolved program. And she loved it. Not only did her hormone levels get better, she started sleeping better, feeling better in general, but she actually got stronger. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the biggest unique thing where she was just like, holy shit, there's this like other way out there. And so she was my kind of in to this IN3 nutrition group. And a few months ago, I partnered up with Jason Phillips, and now I'm training 6 or 7 of his nutritionists. And then his nutritionists are now sending me their clients that they work with. And all of these people have one thing in common, which tends to be they overtrained in CrossFit and now they need to get right.
Yeah.
And so they're all on some version.
Kind of take a step back, slow down a little bit.
Dude, exactly. And like, I was talking to Fish about this earlier, but I'm training 3 times a week now, which is crazy. I never thought like when I started on this CrossFit journey that I'd be the guy that's like, I'm just going to train 3 times a week for 60 to 90 minutes. And that's more or less what I'm doing. It's a movement pattern orientation program, like horizontal push-pull, vertical push-pull, stuff like that. And there's still some Metcon work in there. But instead of going out and killing yourself and doing Fran at the end of your workout,
yeah,
it's like 3 rounds of 10 burpees and 200-meter farmer's carry.
Gotcha.
And so you're getting your conditioning
breathing
in.
Work.
You're just doing work. Yeah. You're just keeping your body healthy and...
So do you think you can do something like that, like the 3 days a week, because you've achieved a certain baseline as an athlete? I know people talk about Pat Barber all the time too, or Matt Chan, mm-hmm. where they're like, well, Matt Chan only works out 3 days a week. And it's like, yeah, but fucking Matt Chan worked out for 6 years every single day. So he's achieved something. He's achieved a certain level of athleticism where now 3 days a week is enough for him to maintain that level.
It's a great point. Yeah. And I think that the key is not that you have to have followed a high volume training program prior, but more that you had to have put in enough time in the gym that your movement patterns don't need work.
Yeah.
Because this all goes back to the whole Froning thing where he's practicing movement. He's shooting free throws all the time, right?
Yeah. It's muscle memory. That's what you're drilling, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't need to work on my form and thrusters at this moment. I don't need to work on my chest to bar pull-ups. Like, I know how to do these things.
Right.
We've been in this game long enough that like this movement is almost second nature.
It's like riding a bike. It comes back to you.
It's like riding a bike. Yeah. So I'm able to, I know at this point how to activate the proper muscles where training 3 times a week, I'm able to get enough stimulus to make it worthwhile. And I'm sure Matt Chan and Pat Barber are in the same boat.
They understand fitness on a level too, where they can, just like you know what I mean? Where they know, okay, I'm only working on 3 days a week, but you know exactly what you're going to do in those 3 days to achieve the greatest effect.
Exactly.
I remember when I was on the Olympic bobsled team, that was our training. It was Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Seriously?
That was it. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we would lift, like, we had a strength program. There was no conditioning in it. Just a strength program in the morning, and then in the afternoon, we would push sleds. So we had like a, in the summertime, we'd have a wheel sled. And then in the winter, we'd have on the ice.
Okay.
But that was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I think I was on a Saturday or Sunday, the whole workout for the whole day was we would go to the track and do sprints. And it would be like, literally the whole day would be like a 10 by 100 meter sprint.
Like that would be. Dude, that's exactly what it should be. Yeah. I mean.
And they weren't all out either. They
no,
were like,
exactly. Because by the 10th 80, one.
90%.
Dude, if you went 100% on 10 by 100, the amount of decline that you would experience from sprint to sprint would be so significant.
But dude, I used to be fucking so excited for like my days to squat and stuff. Because like I had worked out Monday and then Tuesday's off. And then I'd work out Wednesday and then the next day's off. And I knew I was going to deadlift or whatever on Friday. And I'd
get
wait.
Excited about that.
And then like the whole weekend, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till Monday. I'm going to smash this, you know?
So
and
that
it was like exciting. But like right. now for me, I mean, well, for me, I like I have all these different injuries and stuff now. But like. Sometimes, like, the thought of working out like isn't really, like, super exciting like it used to be.
So this is actually, like, another point that if your motivation in the gym is suffering, maybe you start training less. Like,
yeah.
I noticed the same thing. I originally started on, you know, okay, I'm going to go 4 days a week instead of five. But I found that training back-to-back days, I was not excited about my session on the second day in a row.
And if you have high stress levels, like cortisol or something going on because you're not excited...
Then exactly, it's almost like you feel like you have to go into the gym to feel better, and that's the thing that I really am preaching for people to get away from is like you should feel at your best, and the workout should be something that you want to do. You shouldn't have to walk into the gym and be like, oh, I feel like shit today, my brain is so foggy, I just need to work out and I know I'm gonna feel better. Like the amount of times that I've heard people say that, and the amount of times that I used to say that, right? It's all over the place.
Yeah. But that's just not the point. Like that's just not it's not fun anymore, you know?
No.
And if you're like us and working out is such a big part of your life, then it should be an enjoyable part of your life. It shouldn't just be something that you dread every single day. I try to take every 6 to 8 weeks somewhere around there, I try and take a week off. But it's not really off. Like what I do is I go out of the gym. You know what I mean? I'm running, I'm biking, I'm swimming, playing basketball, playing beach volleyball, whatever it is, and just staying outside the gym. I just did that a few weeks ago after the Open was over. I took like 10 days off. Fish and I went snowboarding the first weekend, and then after that it was just like running, biking, swimming, doing yoga, all that stuff.
That's awesome.
And after 10 days you're fucking craving the barbell, right? You're like, oh my god, I want to pick up something heavy like right now. And that's what it should feel like every single day.
I 100% agree, man. And the fact that you even are like aware enough to think of taking a week off every 8 weeks,
yeah,
more people could do that. I always say 12 to 16 weeks, but yeah, if 8 makes you feel better, like, awesome.
Right.
And then you come back and you realize you didn't actually lose something. That's always the biggest fear is people are like, 100%, oh, if I take a week off, I'm going to lose all my gains.
Yeah. No, it's different. Like, because all of a sudden now you're working out the right way. Now you're feeling good. Now you're making progress, you know? So I think that's cool. As far as your online programming and like the remote client stuff goes, what do you do? Because there's a lot of options now out there for athletes, right? They can go Google something and 100,000 pages are going to pop up.
Yeah.
What is something that you guys do to add value to your program over someone else's?
So I do, I coach through private Facebook groups. I know other people do that too. But I try to give them just the full experience. I give them full access to me. So within our Facebook group, I encourage them to post videos of their movement. I make sure that any movements that I program that might not be, you know, the most obvious movements, something kind of obscure, maybe it's a bodybuilding movement or something like that, I'll always either film my own video to demo for them or I'll link to a YouTube video. Another thing that is extremely time consuming, but I find very productive, is to actually help guide people through how they need to progress in their strength work. Because I find that to be one of the most confusing areas for people is, you know, I write, okay, we're gonna do 5 sets of 3 on your pull-ups. Okay, well, what happens when I make 5 sets of 3? Well, you try to increase weight. Okay, what if I can't increase weight? Okay, then now we're gonna try and increase weight the first set only, and then we're gonna try and hit the 4 remaining sets at your old weight, and then the next week we'll come in and do that. And like being able to manipulate volume and loading, being able to manipulate intensity in a way of like, okay, well, I've been doing this, you know, for 3 weeks and I haven't made progress on it. How do we then attack that to individualize it to you and make sure that you can continue to progress from there? Whether it's like, some days I've had people be like, okay, I'm not progressing on my 5x3 weighted pull-ups anymore. And I'm like, okay, today we're going to do 5 times max reps of just body weight, as many as you can do.
Okay.
And suddenly they're like, you know, achieving 60 to 75 reps.
So you said you have around like 35 clients right now. Are you able to keep like one-on-one contact with all of them?
Yeah, I mean, some of them require more attention than others. Like some of them actually really dig the individual communication, and they're very diligent about posting their results every single training day, and they crave the feedback from me. Mm-hmm. And then there are others that are much more self-sustainable, and they kind of are just like, I got this, you know?
Right, yeah.
And they only contact me when they're like stuck, or when they feel like maybe they're starting to overreach and they're starting to feel a little less motivated. And, you know, then we'll have a kind of enlightened discussion about what do we need to do with your training volume? Maybe it's time to start kind of peaking this cycle and starting a new one. I'm a hugely metric-based coach. I strongly believe that there are certain movements in a program that need to repeat week to week to week so that you can tangibly see yourself getting stronger.
And technically, that's the CrossFit idea, right? I feel like that's something that's getting lost too. When I did my level one, that was one thing that they were preaching, where basically you're trying to do 5 pull-ups, and you're trying to do those 5 pull-ups as perfect as you possibly can. And the integrity of the movement comes before the intensity. Mm-hmm. Then after you do those 5 pull-ups, you add a 6th one. Now that 6th one may not be perfect now because you're kind of getting to the edge of being fatigued, right? So now you're going to train and keep going until that 6th one is perfect, and then add 7th one. And you're just going to keep doing that and increase your load as it goes. But I think a lot of people have forgotten about that. And it, like I said earlier, it's like, okay, I snatched 225 last week, I'm going to snatch 235 this week. And it's like, well, dude, you fucking barely snatched 225.
Right.
Like, that was not a good rep.
Your knees caving in, your shoulders buckling.
Exactly. There's a lot that you can fix at 225 before having to add weight.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good reasons to spend less time at sub-maximal loads. Mm-hmm. And people are all the time like, well, I snatched 225, so I'm going to snatch 235. Well, okay, what if we go back and now we spend a week or two snatching 205?
Yeah,
and we make 205 perfect or 185 perfect. And people think that if they don't go to a max every time they lift, that they're somehow going to get weaker.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that?
Here's my view right now. And you know what I'm about to say. Who fucking cares if you snatch 235?
Right.
Like, my mind is blown the fuck away. Like, I just don't care. Like, snatch 275, I don't care.
You're irrelevant.
Yeah. Like, what is the point? Unless you're going to the games, like, we have someone in our gym right now, like, it's a girl, and she's just, like, so obsessed with snatching, like, some number, I forget what it is, but I'm like, why? Like,
Instagram, bro.
I understand, like, why you... Like, I understand that, like, it would be cool, like, as a guy, like, you always want to snatch 300 pounds, you know? And, but it's just, like, there's a point where, like, if it's taking over your life, like, you're not doing anything else in your life but, like, focusing on snatching that 300 and working out all these different times and this and that, blah, 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 and then you snatch 300, then what happens?
At some point, it's, like, it's enough, too, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Like, you're done.
It's fine.
The one thing that my ex-girlfriend always used to say to me, and I'm not a big fan of her anymore, but this was one thing.
I'm not a big fan of anymore.
It's actually really funny, because during that time, that was when I like started CrossFit. I thought I was going to regionals. I thought I was going to games. Like, it was like consuming my life. And I would come home, and I would tell her, like, oh my god, I clean jerked fucking 315 today. And she would always just look at me, and she'd just be like, is it necessary to be lifting that much weight?
Isn't that just a typical uninformed girl thing to say?
But at the same time, it's like, well, she's fucking right. Like, no, right. I'm never going to fucking pick up 315 and put it up over my head in any different scenario than the gym.
Exactly.
Unless you start getting into fat girls, then there's...
Oh, yeah. Fat but... girl, acro yoga.
that way you can progress as she gains weight.
Yeah. You just got to keep feeding her every week.
Oh, man.
That's wrong. But so going back to like talking about like working out at sub-maximal loading, like the amount of times that I've seen people just, you know, hang out at like 75-80% and do perfect reps, and I won't even let them touch a one rep max or even close to a one rep max for weeks upon weeks. And then they go back and we're like, okay, now you're going to test your one rep max. And they do their one rep max and they're like, oh my God, that was so easy, you know? And you're just like, yeah, because your form is so much better. You didn't miss reps for like 8 straight weeks.
Yeah.
And like when you fail, you teach your body failure. You don't teach your body to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I teach people OLLI lifting specifically, like I teach them that like it should feel like, you should feel like you know what you did wrong. Like, if when I'm done coaching you at the end of the, like, if I do like a one-on-one session with someone for Oli lifting, like at the end of that hour, if you feel like you still need me as far as like where the bar was, like I didn't do a good job on coaching you.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the active meditation too. I think like visualization is such a huge key to me. Like, I've kind of come in contact with that when I was still playing football, and a lot of people, successful people, always talk about that. You got to see yourself succeed before it actually happens.
Absolutely.
And I go through that all the time in the gym when it comes to lifts. Dude, I haven't missed a clean in, I don't know how long, 2 or 3 years.
And that feels great, right?
You know what I mean? Like, I haven't failed. I hit 365 during that open workout, which was a 20-pound PR.
Wow.
And it's just like, I don't know how to fail a clean anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what
that
feels
like. You just teach success. Yeah.
And on snatch, that's 100% not the case. I go, I get to like 90% on my snatch, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen here. Right? But it's so, that's, I think, I've never thought of it like that. But the way you said it, you know what I mean? You're teaching your body failure. On my snatch, I failed so many times that I kind of go in, and I'm like, ah, I might hit this, I may not, you know what I mean? On my clean, I'm so certain that
it's a confidence
that you
issue,
just,
yeah.
You just know, like, I'm going to pick this bar up and I'm going to stand this up.
And
I'm
exactly
no doubt in
the
my
opposite.
Mind.
Like, I know I'm going to snatch a lot of weight,
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to clean anything.
I mean, I think ultimately it comes down to just working at weights that allow you to make reps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going back to the Rich Froning, like, 135 snatches for 3 reps on the minute forever.
Yeah.
I did one squat clean on the minute for an hour one time a few years ago. I was just like, I'm just gonna do one a minute. Every rep's gonna be perfect,
for
and I'm
an
gonna
hour.
Try and it, exactly. It was stupid. I know an hour was bad. This was in the pre, like,
I told you, dude. He was always dying.
Pre enlightened days.
Yeah. Dude, you gotta do some dumb shit every now.
No, exactly.
And then.
I'm so
my
happy
buddies and I did the fucking Iron Triathlon. Remember the going 1 up to 20?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I did that the next day after. Or did I do it the day before you?
It took me 1 hour 55, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so stupid, right?
And it's so it's dumb, like, but it's like, all right, I did it. I just wanted to do
it's
it.
It's like some of those 12 days of Christmas workouts out there. I remember you and I went into the gym one Christmas, and it was the day after we did a 12 days of Christmas workout, and we decided to test our 1 rep max barbell curl.
Oh,
do you remember this?
Oh my god.
I think I still have the video on my computer.
And I hit 165 strict.
Wow.
Like, no momentum.
Yeah.
It was just like, boom. And then you tore a rib or something.
I popped a rib out.
Bro, I was laid up for like 10 days.
I could barely
breathe.
Dude, I want to say he might have bicep curled 185. It was like so savage. Wow. That all of us were like, what? Like, I hadn't even done a bicep curl in years. And I saw him do it.
I think it was 165 or 175. But whatever it was.
That's a lot of fucking weight, dude.
It popped a rib out, and I was I was so laid up for so long.
That's,
man.
That's so awesome.
I think my overall, like, dumbest workout I've ever done was with this guy, Paul Smith. You remember him?
Yeah, the dude out of Texas, right?
Yep. He hits me up and he's like, I'm coming to stop by this gym I used to work out. He's like, I got this workout in mind. We're going to do 100 power cleans at 225 with 5 burpees on the minute.
Oh.
Like, calcium.
It's a super calcium,
yeah.
With power cleans. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. Little did I know, like, we start after like 3 rounds. I'm like, oh, I'm doing like sets of 3 or 4 on the minute. And I'm like, oh my God. And then like later on, we start getting to the point where like him and I both did like 1.
Yeah. Just 5 burpees.
And then I watched him like take a minute off, and I was like, oh my god, like, he's really good, dude, and he's massive.
Uh-huh.
And he took us like 30 minutes and we finished.
Yeah.
No matter what I did the rest of that week, it felt like I tried to squat like 135, like warming up, and I was like,
your nervous system was just so shocked.
I just knew. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I literally, I know I can't squat.
Yeah.
And then like the next day I'd come and try to work out, I was like, I can't work out.
The CNS impact of high volume Olympic lifting is so gnarly.
Yeah. But that was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, for sure.
The dumbest thing I ever done was actually before CrossFit. My buddy and I were like working out for football. This was when I was playing semi-pro in Germany. And we were doing, what is it called? West Side Barbell for Skinny Bastards. Right? They had like an extra, like, for Skinny Bastards program in there. It was like a bunch of like benching. It was actually pretty cool stuff. And then one day, the cash out was 100 calf raises. So they had like the little calf raise machine, you know, where like the pads go on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So we went pretty light. I think it was like the 3 stacks or something like that. And I did 100 calf raises. Dude, I couldn't walk for a week. I had to take 2 days off of practice. because I literally got to practice. I'm like, there's no fucking way I can run right now. Dude, it got to the point where, like, whenever I would stand up off a couch, right, yep. I'd, like, stand up like this and then push press on yep. my knee yep. just to, like, straighten my leg.
Yep.
Dude,
oh
it was
God.
So fucking terrible. I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this fucking program. I'm not doing this ever
wow.
again.
The same thing happened to me on my college tour. I did 100 calf raises right before I had to go tour University of Cincinnati, and I literally couldn't walk,
yeah.
so they had to give me a golf cart to go
oh
tour.
My
oh
my God.
Hell yeah,
dude.
I love it. I know. Just
so this is actually a perfect segue talking about stupid shit. Where do you see you're at the forefront of CrossFit? You're one of the first at CrossFit in San Diego. You're one of the first people to like, start online programming. Where do you see the CrossFit world, or if you want to go fitness world in general, where do you see it like evolving over the next 5, 10, 15 years?
Such a big question.
I'll take 15 years out. Let's go 5, 10.
Okay.
I mean, you know, CrossFit is a tough one because all the weights just are going to keep getting heavier and all the gymnastics movements are going to get more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of the gymnastics stuff has to turn into, like, grid-style stuff, right? I mean, there just is no more evolution of gymnastics work.
Yeah.
Or it becomes more of, like, actually Olympic-style gymnastics.
I would love to watch them degress and go back down to, like, classic CrossFit with, like, lighter weights and see
just what happens. Yeah.
I think it'd be so much cooler, but
just... Well, I think what's going to be cool, too, to see is... If you look at Matt Fraser, he's so dominant right now. And he started CrossFit when he was... How old is he now?
I think he started when he was, like, mid-20s.
So he was a weightlifter, right? He was a
yeah.
weightlifter, and then he, like, started, like, mid-20s. So, like, he started CrossFit mid-20s. There's kids that are starting CrossFit now when they're fucking 8 years old.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So when those kids get to, like, 18, 19,
yeah.
21...
A lot of times, though, they get burned out.
Yeah.
Or injuries occur. I mean, your body can only handle so much, like, heavy volume, high load work.
That's true. That's
so
a good
I
point.
Think as far as evolution goes, like, people
longevity.
Need to train smarter. Yeah, you need to focus on
yeah.
longevity, especially if you're going to start it younger. Like, Fisher's been, you know, killing himself in Olympic training and CrossFit training for over a decade, and now he can't squat anymore. And, like, I tore a labrum in 2012 because I decided that I wanted to go on an Olympic lifting cycle and do CrossFit. And, like, these are things that are just so dumb, and you didn't know any better when you're younger, but if you do shit long enough, you're going to get injured. It's a sport. You play football. Like,
right.
you play football long enough, you will get injured.
100%.
And, like, if you're going to be good at CrossFit in years to come...
You're going to get injured.
You're going to get injured, but you need to be smart about what you're putting in. Like, isn't an hour 5 days a week for 30 years better than 4 hours a day, 6 times a week for 4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, like...
And the whole longevity factor, what you were saying before we started recording, too, at the end of the day... And what Fisher was saying too, like, who the fuck cares if you snatch 225 or not? At the end of the day, like, you want to be able to pick up your kids and play catch and, you know, not
exactly.
have to fucking sit on the sidelines and just watch them grow up.
Well, what I think is really cool is a couple years ago, well, I guess in May 1st, my gym will be open for 4 years. And I remember, like, when I first opened the gym, I started this thing called Sweat, which was like, you know it, obviously.
Yeah.
It's more of like a conditioning class. The way that I started it, which to like what it is now is like so much different. I feel like it's evolved into like just so many cooler workouts in my opinion. But the amount of people that are like, I really want to come in and do Sweat today is just getting like more and more and more and more and more. And
yeah.
I remember at that time I was telling him about my Sweat class and he had started a bodybuilding class in his CrossFit gym.
Oh, dope.
And people were digging it, right?
Yeah, we actually still have a version of it now.
Yeah.
Called Strong. Yeah.
So, like, he started bodybuilding stuff, like,
there's
way
dudes
before.
At Chalk that would dig that for sure. Like, we
oh,
always
yeah.
do the fucking bro downs after class. So,
yeah.
like, I feel like that would take off, too.
I know. I thought about putting that in there at
yeah.
some point. So, like, I was going to say, like, I think you're going to start seeing a lot more, like, bodybuilding style stuff, like, in the CrossFit workouts type of stuff. But what do you think?
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into, like, the Strong program that we have on our gym, because, you know, we have a very CrossFit based membership. And even when we had the bodybuilding program in like 2013 14 15, when I did the men's physique comp,
it wasn't like taking off like you wanted it to.
No,
right?
It wasn't really taking off. Like, certain people did it, and then it was mostly new people that came in that were like, I'm scared of CrossFit, but I'll try this bodybuilding program. So now I reintroduced the program called Strong probably like 6-7 months ago. And it's not nearly as much of a focus on like a pure bodybuilding program as much as like a hybrid between strength training, bodybuilding and CrossFit style, like Metcon stuff, like I was saying, like 200 meter farmers carry and 10 burpees for three rounds or something like that. So now it's like actually taken over the gym, and we've had number of different people from the CrossFit classes that are like, I'm just going to do this program now. Because they feel like they have all the components that they want in one program, where they have the aesthetic component of the bodybuilding, they have the strength component from the powerlifting side of things. Like, I always program the squats and deads in a lower rep range, like, you know, we alluded to earlier, like 3 to 5 reps. Got the hypertrophy stuff in there, like the 8 to 15 rep stuff. And then we have the little...
What do you do for hypertrophy?
All right, so let's I'll just go over like one of the programs from this past week. So it was horizontal push-pull day. So we went bench press and bent over rows for sets of 6 to 8. So that was more of like our strength work for the day. And then we had dumbbell bench press and dumbbell croc rows. And those were for 10 to 12 reps. And then we did some supersets, one or two sets of dumbbell flies with ring rows. And then the workout at the end was 200 meter farmer's carry, 30 burpee deadlifts with your kettlebells, and then 30 Russian kettlebell swings.
Nice.
So that's the whole thing, right? You got your strength work, your hypertrophy work. You got your little Metcon at the end.
Yeah, you get a little bit of sweat at least at the end.
Exactly.
That.
And it's not like, dude, I was dead after the croc rows. Like picking up a 110-pound dumbbell and rowing that shit 15 times is like...
What the fuck's a croc row?
It's like a dumbbell bent over row, but instead of your knee being on the bench, you're holding like a stack of plates for support, so you can get a little more momentum in there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get a little lat extension and lat contraction.
Gotcha.
And then like on the squat day, like today, I came into your gym and I was doing our strong program. So it was work up to a heavy triple for back squat and then 3 sets of 3 at 10% less. So I'm big into the back off sets now, like one heavy set and then a bunch of back off sets where you're just kind of working on form, efficiency, breathing, active meditation.
There you go.
And then after that, we did some split squats. So it was like 15, 12, 10, 8, 6, something like that. So you get all the kind of rep range zones there. And then we throw in, I can't remember exactly what the hypertrophy work after that was, but it was something like lunges and GHD sit-ups.
Okay.
So you just kind of get a good mix of everything. Like, you get a little bit of CrossFit at the end, you get your strength work, your hypertrophy work, and it's kind of like this super program. And everyone, we've had a lot of people kind of veer off the CrossFit path and start doing that recently, and they love it. They actually feel like they're getting more volume in than they do with CrossFit.
I can see that.
I really like stuff like that. And I've been doing a lot of stuff like that. And
yeah.
I really like, personally, I like the Pat O'Shea stuff from back in the 70s,
the IWTs. Yeah.
I love the IWTs because I still have that part of me that wants that death feeling, just because, I don't know, it's just kind of like my DNA.
Yeah.
I really like endurance. Like, I really like, it sucks that I can't run anymore because my knee's so fucked up, but I love to just, like, get on the bike and put in like 100 calories, or get on the ski and put on like 100 calories, or do like a huge workout. But now I try to make a lot of that stuff make a little bit more sense, where it's kind of like an IWT.
Yeah.
For those of you guys who don't know, it's like interval weight training, and it's usually a lifting component and a cardio component with some rest
program. I think if you're going
to
kill yourself,
it's way better
to do it for your CNS on a piece of cardio equipment than it is with a mixed modal training.
Yeah, for sure. We do a lot of cardio.
It's easier to handle, for sure.
In the gym.
Yeah. And you can recover from that. And, like, you know, you're not going to end up in a CNS depleted state by doing 1,000-meter repeats on the rower.
No.
Like, it's just cardio.
Yeah.
A lot of the cardio stuff, too, like...
Still going to suck, but...
You can do cardio stuff every day. Like, just, you know...
Absolutely,
you're
yeah.
a track athlete, you're
if
doing...
that's something you want to do.
Yeah.
Track athletes also periodize, though. And
they
that's,
do.
Like, you know, one of the aspects of CrossFit that is now instituted, but... could be focused on a little bit more is the fact that, like, you're not going 100% all the time. You're periodizing your training out a little bit. And track athletes are the same way. Like you kind of said earlier, you know, you have one day where you're doing 100-meter repeats. And a lot of the other days are lower intensity work, form work and stuff like that, shooting free throws.
Yeah, train smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
100%.
Dude, some of my days would be 10 by 30-meter sprint.
Yeah.
That'd be it.
It's just a takeoff, basically.
It's really not a huge day. That was the day.
I know. But then you can really focus on the takeoff. You know what I mean? Like, you're not exhausted. You're not, you're still there. You're not blacking out. You know, you can you're feeling every step, and you're just a lot more connected to what you're doing. Anything else you want to add?
I do like kind of like where we're kind of getting to, from like what you started with the gym, and then like where we think everything is going to kind of go, and then what do you like to do personally now after all these years, like basically kind of like your strong program?
Yeah, exactly. I really like to have a little mix of everything. Like, I really truly enjoy squatting and deadlifting heavy. I also enjoy cleaning heavy. I think those three things are going to be staples for as long as my body can do it. And I don't always go heavy. Like, I like to, you know, have my back off weeks. And I think every, out of every month, I like to have at least 1 week where I deload all those movements. And then I feel like I am able to, at this point in my life, spend 3 weeks going heavier. I don't know if that's going to stay forever. When I'm 45, it might be 2 weeks heavy and 2 weeks deload. But whatever it is, I'm going to continue doing those three movements heavy because I really enjoy them. And I enjoy doing some of that, like, farmer's carries and more of, like, kind of strongman conditioning stuff. And I enjoy hypertrophy work because, it still makes me breathe heavy. Yeah. You get the pump. Dude, you get the
pump.
Chase the pump, man. And we live at the beach, like, all of us. Like, I live in Pacific Beach. You guys live in Newport. Like, we're walking around with our shirts off all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool to be sore in that way. And
It's always beach season.
Yeah. The way that I get sore doing that type of training is real good soreness as opposed to CNS fatigue.
Yeah.
And you can feel the difference. So for me, it's all about avoiding CNS fatigue. If I do something stupid like an open workout, which I did do the open this year, or, you know, 12 Days of Christmas or Murph or whatever, because those things come up and they're part of the community.
And they're fun.
I'm definitely going to take 2 days off after that. Like, I'm not going to be that kid that comes in and does a one rep max barbell curl the next day.
Not anymore.
No.
It's just crazy. I think the hardest part is trying to get these people to just
slow down.
Not even slow down. Like, just, like, get them to believe that something else is going to work for them.
Yeah.
I get so bummed. Like, sometimes I'll program for the gym. Like, I had an Olympic total, like, a week ago. And I was like, we're going to do one rep max snatch, one rep max clean and jerk. And then, like, I'd be totally cool with, like, that. But I have to put 1,000 meter row in there at the end.
Because people need to breathe heavy, right? Because
they have to have it. Right. So you had 30 minutes for a one rep max snatch and a clean and jerk. And then it was at the end, everybody went and we did a 1,000 meter row for time. But it's like, there is, and this is kind of like where I always talk about when it comes to programming. Like, there is that, like, you have to please the crowd type of thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you could be your
gym members, yeah.
You could be a great musician, but if you suck on stage, you know what I mean? Like, no one really wants to watch you play.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good analogy.
There is, like, a little bit of that, like, for the gym owners out there and all that stuff. Like, but also doing it in a way where it's still fun and not, like, you know, taking you the fuck down and you feel like you're dead all the time. So I think there's a very interesting way to program for your gym and then what's really right. And I think what everyone should be doing, though, is cycling different programs all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, the most important thing.
You got to keep it interesting. You got to keep your members safe. And you got to give them something that they look forward to doing.
Yeah.
And you got to educate yourself, because the more I learn about working out, the more I understand, the more I want to try new things. And,
oh, like, my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? The more the better I feel outside of the gym too. You know, just going in and just murdering yourself is one thing, but the more you understand, you're like, oh, wow, I can actually feel good and make progress at the same time. Let's do that.
It's the perfect world, man.
Yeah. That's why I always preach for everybody out there to try different gyms.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not really sure if your program's that good, like, how many times do you hear people say, like, oh, my gym's programming is shit, but, like, I just love everybody there, or, like, or that gym's programming is shit, or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, I think everyone should try every gym in their area for a week and see if they like it, and try different classes, try different coaches, try different programs. Like, if you're in San Diego and you go to a regular CrossFit gym, try a strong program and see if you like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, try different things and see if you like it, because you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Feel that.
All right. So I think this is the part where we talk about where people can find you and your programs and all that.
Totally.
Stuff.
EvolvedTradingSystems.com. That's my website. I'm on Instagram at Brian Borstein. Gym is San Diego Athletics /CrossFit PB.
And you also post daily workouts on Bees Crew.
I do, yeah. I post daily CrossFit workouts at Bees Crew Training on Instagram. Got two of those handles, Bees Crew and Brian Borstein. Dude, thanks so much for having me. This is rad.
Very easy to find this guy for sure.
Definitely.
And if you're ever cruising down Garnet Avenue in Pacific Beach, you guys can go check out the gym. It's a huge spot. It's a cool spot. John Cena has been known to work out there a few times.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, you got anything to add?
No, not really. I'm excited to go to PaleoFX with you next week.
Yep.
We're going to be out there, probably get some cool interviews, meet some cool people. So there's a lot of good content coming your way. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
All right, guys.
Awesome.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
Later. All righty then. That's going to wrap it up with Brian. Hope you guys had fun, learned a thing or two, got a couple of good belly laughs in there. We definitely had a great time with Brian. And as always, guys, if you like it, now that the channel is so new and we're trying to prove ourselves, make sure you follow the Shrug Collective and subscribe. Make sure you guys leave a review. And as always, guys, Fish and I are super interested in what you guys are trying to do or what you guys want to hear more of. So any ideas, any comments, any concerns you guys have, either send us an email. It's going to be Yaya or Ryan at CrossFitChalk.com. Our Instagrams are at YaySView, at RyanFish. We really try to get back to everybody that sends us a message. So let us know your thoughts, what topics you want to hear about, what guests you want to have on. If you want to see more pictures of Ryan with his shirt on or off, whatever it is, we're going to do our best to make it happen just for you guys. So tell your mom, tell your mom's friends, tell everybody the Real Chalk Podcast. I'm Yaya. And I'm out.